A few of the largest enterprises in Ellis County have a significant impact on the area economy. GrowHay's Executive Director Doug Williams stops by to share some of those insights on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Fort Hays really is the crown jewel of Western Kansas. We got to tour the three new buildings, the three newest buildings on campus, and I was just blown away by what all they have down there and how nice and just effective and what a wonderful resource those buildings are, both to the art department, the technology department, and then the Center for Student Success. They're just amazing buildings. And you just go in them and you don't feel like you're in Hays. You know, you feel like, gosh, I should be in a metropolitan area or a huge university someplace, but it's right here and it's impressive.
Yeah. You know what I really like about all of the construction they've done? Because I was on campus there when they started with Hammond Hall and kind of that whole process. I love that the new buildings, the consensus, the goal is to make them look like they're part of the old campus. You know, there's an aesthetic there that I can't think of another college that I've ever been onto that really does that.
Well, they've done a terrific job of maintaining the limestone construction, you know, the same building materials and the look and feel with some modernization. And of course, the art area, they use the old power plant. And being a lifer here in Hays, I remember that power plant. My granddad used to work there.
Really?
And
wow.
I used to go down there when I was a kid and walk through there with him. And that was longer ago than I'd like to think. But they were able to restore that building, at least the exterior structure and things, keep the old brick and that kind of thing. It's really cool how they did that. So they have done an amazing job, and we can be very proud of what we have there and what a wonderful asset it is to Western Kansas and to Ellis County in particular to have that type of an institution there. It's just tremendous.
Absolutely. You know, I love, and I know it's not a Hays exclusive thing, but there seems to be just such an undercurrent here of people wanting to reutilize those historic structures, those old buildings. And I love that we do that. And Fort Hays has done that, I think, is in modern history, at least as absolutely much as they can.
They have. You know, as I said, the old power plant they use for that. The library is the next project with the grant that they recently received, a $17 million grant, I believe it was. And they're going to be renovating the library. But I don't think they're going to be changing a whole lot on the exterior. I say that, and they probably are going to do a fair amount to it, but they're going to maintain the spot. They're going to maintain some of the structure and things, and so they'll continue that look and feel. And really, there's a couple of buildings on campus that aren't of the limestone. I think Tamanic Hall is maybe non-limestone and things. But I have tell people this all the time. I would compare our campus to any other anywhere. Really, in terms of the look and quality of a campus is just really second to none. And I mean even big schools and Division I schools, and it's just an amazing place.
Absolutely. And I love talking Fort Hays. Everybody knows I went to Fort Hays and big champion of everything they do down there.
Well, I went there too, just not the whole ride. I got sidetracked along the way. College algebra, as I told the group the other day, college algebra ended my college career, and however, I told them in the Center for Student Success, they have an area for tutoring, and they bring in tutors, and it's a great spot where kids can come in and get the help they need. I'm sure something like that was probably available when I was there, but I didn't find it. And if I were to go back, I might have gotten through college algebra and continued my college career path, but that didn't happen. So kids have a much better opportunity today to utilize those resources.
Absolutely. Hey, and I'll share this with you, Doug. If you keep it between you and me, college algebra, I took it six times. Six before I finally got through.
Six times the charm.
Everybody knows, too, I was in college forever. I was there for a dang decade. It was amazing. Probably why I love it so much.
Why ever leave?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, Fort Hays, you know, and that's a showcase piece, and it's easy to point to that. But you had some opportunity here in the last week to go through some of the large employers here in Hays and really kind of see what they do as well, right?
We did. Yesterday, Scott, the plant manager at Intersys, was good enough to give us a tour of Intersys. And I had never been in there. That's one of the really cool things about this job I have is that I get to go in some places that I've never been. You know, I mentioned I've lived here all my life. I remember very well when it was Travenol, and, you know, was our largest employer at that point in time. But I was never in the physical plant. I'd been in the front offices. So yesterday we got to take a tour of the entire place. And, wow, it's an impressive place as well, in a different kind of way, because it's hardcore manufacturing going on in there, you know, plant floor and fire deals, melting lead and pouring lead into forms and then turning it into batteries, ultimately big batteries and things. But what an impressive place. And just shows we've got a lot going on here. I've had tours of Rands. I've had tours of Glassman. We have some really impressive Hess. We have some really impressive businesses here that are doing some amazing things right under our noses. And I don't think we realize it sometimes just how impressive these things are.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a conversation with my wife not too long ago. And matter of fact, we were talking to Intersys. We knew they make batteries, but like what they actually do, we don't know. It's so easy to overlook those major employers. Hayes Med is another one here in Ellis County that really help drive our economy. But they're kind of, you know, you don't think about a lot of them frequently. Maybe Hayes Med is a bad example because you do. Well, most people, I think,
they're a little maybe higher profile in the community, yeah. But you know, Intersys, we talked about this yesterday. They're kind of on the edge of town, and so you drive by that building all the time, but you don't really think about what goes on in there unless you have some reason to either know somebody that works there or having worked there before. But it's an impressive operation, and they produce some amazing products that get used all over the world. I mean, these batteries, these are not your car batteries. These are industrial type batteries that are used for backups of telecom systems and computer data centers and that type of thing. Even utility companies use them. Nuclear power plants use them for their backup because they want to have backup power if they have to shut down the plant for some reason or another. So these products are used everywhere, and they're made, some of them, I know they have multiple plants, but at least these are made right here in Hayes, America.
Yeah, I love that. We're literally, you know, building the things that are driving the world.
Well, at some level we are. You know, I know Adronics makes parts for the auto industry and for General Motors and the big car manufacturers. And Cross, of course, I'm not sure exactly what all they make products for, but their products are used all over, I know. And Rands, my gosh, he's got airplanes all over the world, and he's been at it a long time out there, Randy and his crew, and they do a terrific job as well. So pretty special stuff goes on here.
Yeah. You know, from a truly economic standpoint, I wonder, you know, how much of our economy is driven by those large employers? And I don't know where you draw the line on large, but, you know, the ones that we're talking about.
Well, and you're right. The definition of large is always interesting. When I was back in the computer business and working with IBM, they called small business anything under 1,000 employees. Those were small businesses. Well, they're not small to us, but those employers are critically important to our local economy, and they contribute a lot. You know, Fort Hays State, Hayes Med, Intersys, Hess, Glassman, Rands, all of those, Cross, they all contribute a lot of dollars in employment to our community. Unfortunately, they're all facing the same problem right now, is finding people. That's the real challenge, the biggest challenge that they face. You know, talking with Scott out at Intersys, he also talked about supply chain issues. You know, they have been challenged with supply chain issues and trying to get products, and it's a process. So when you lose one piece of the chain of manufacturing something, it gums up the whole works. So, It is some challenges, but I think employees are their biggest challenge, to find good qualified employees.
You know, and that's something we talk about quite a bit. And one of the driving factors on that is housing here in the area. And from what I understand, there was a recent housing study done by the City of Hayes. I wonder if you want to share some of the insights from that.
Well, there was. The City of Hayes recently completed a housing study. The Docking Institute did a housing study for them, and then a company called RDG did a supplemental study. And it showed us basically kind of what we already know, that we have a shortage, that we have underbuilt for quite some time. And it's put us in the hole in terms of available housing, and thus our ability to recruit a workforce is challenging because we don't have any place for them to live, whether it be a very white-collar person that's looking at our community, a healthcare provider or a college professor, school teacher, or somebody that's got a skilled labor that's looking to go to work for one of these manufacturers we're talking about, they have to live someplace. And we have not built enough homes over the last 10 years to meet the need. And then if we want to take advantage of this urban migration that's taking place over the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to have to really ramp it up. So we have some real challenges ahead of us if we expect to continue to have any growth and do better than we have done.
On that same note, though, there are some positive actions going on here in Ellis County that are designed to alleviate some of those shortages, right?
Well, obviously, the Heart of America development out in Tallgrass is 36 homes that will be added to the market. The Ellis Estates is adding 42 units to the market out there, and there's other projects that are in at least the conceptual stage. So absolutely, we're looking at solutions and trying to get new housing going. We couldn't have picked a worse time to try and build things because the construction industry has labor shortages as well. Costs are higher than they've ever been, escalating interest rates. I mean, we could talk all day about the challenges. Really doesn't matter. We've got to figure out solutions because we've got to provide housing for people that might want to move into this area. So we're just going to have to do it.
You know, and as we heard earlier from the city leaders here on our city commission recap on the show, there's another RHID that they approved here, I guess, yesterday.
Last night. Yes, I didn't mention that in terms of the stuff under construction, but Mike Graham is going to build 33 or 36 units at the corner of 4th and Fort. That will add, obviously, 36 units. By my estimation, we're probably 400 to 500 units short in our current housing supply. I say that because our vacancy rate is virtually non-existent right now. And, you know, we've got about 9,000 units in our community. A healthy vacancy rate would be 5 or more. So if you do the math, you come up with, anywhere from 300 to 500 units that we could use. And it also would help other landlords be a little bit more motivated to upgrade what they have, because there's no motivation to fix things or to upgrade properties or even to possibly knock down properties and put something new up, so long as you have a rental market where everything rents. And so if we can add properties to the market, we'll see some of that kind of thing take place, and that's a good thing. That's healthy for a community to go through that process. It's not healthy to not have places for people to live when people want to move here. That's not a good situation. We need to resolve that.
You know, we've talked about this so much, but I wonder if you want to put kind of a timeline on it. And I know that we both frequently say this, it never moves as fast as you want. But I'm wondering, at what point do you see that here in Ellis County, we might get past that kind of crisis point in the housing and move into that place where we're in at least a stable and positive looking outcome?
I think even if all the projects we have on the board would occur, we're still 2 or 3 years away from getting to the point where we have adequate inventory, maybe longer, simply because it takes a couple years to take a project from concept to reality, or longer, you know, to get things built. So we're still 2 or 3 years away from having any hope of resolving some of our housing issues. So it's going to be an ongoing thing for quite some time.
But we're going to get there.
We absolutely are going to get there.